Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. Welcome to our repost of episode 33 of the Fuel Run Recover podcast, how to get the most out of your long run. Because I am, of course, the runner's dietitian and sitting here as your running coach and personal trainer, I really love to share tips and advice and help runners not only feel better, but also learn how to train smarter. And part of that process is being able to really have great long runs, how to physically prepare, how to mentally prepare, and some of the strategies around nutrition and hydration and all of that great stuff that is going to help you make sure that your long run is as successful and stress-free as possible. So I hope that you enjoy this reposted episode. If it's your first time checking it out, then I'm so glad that you're here spending time with me today. If you have heard this episode already when it previously came out during season one, then you know what? Give it a re-listen and maybe you'll pick up some new tips and advice that you didn't catch the first time around. I also wanted to let you know about my free fueling and strength training guides for runners that you can currently find by clicking on the link in the show notes. Both of these guides come bundled together. Super easy. Enter your email address and your name just one time. You're going to get an email with links to download both of these guides. Super helpful if you've been struggling with your fueling, if you've been inconsistent with your strength training. I know so many runners are. Then these guides are going to get you on the path to success, better fueling, and stronger running. So without further ado, we are ready to get started with this week's reposted episode, number 33, how to get the most out of your long run. Hello, and welcome to today's episode where we are going to be breaking down the long run. So today, we're going to be talking about all things long run. What exactly is a long run? How can you best prepare for your long run, not only from like a nutrition and hydration kind of standpoint, but also your mental prep for your long run? And how can you really set yourself up from some of the logistical sides of things to have a really great long run day? So to start us off, I want to talk first about what exactly is a long run and what makes a long run different than all the other runs that you might do as part of your training plan. So generally speaking, a long run is considered anything over 90 minutes in length. And I want to, of course, add to that, that depending on how much experience you have as a runner, depending on the length of time that you've been a runner, depending on what exactly you're training for, that may be quite a lot longer than what you're currently running, what you're used to running, or it might be a lot shorter than what you're used to running. And it's not to say that that is okay or not okay or good or bad or anything like that. It's just that at that 90 minute mark, once we've been running for longer than 90 minutes, is when we specifically see certain adaptations taking place within our bodies, within our muscle cells. So there are specific physiological changes that occur when we're running for that length of time, which is part of the reason why the long run is such an important part of your training program. But of course, if you do shorter races, or if you're just working on building up your distance and building up your endurance, then you may not be at a point where you're running for 90 minutes or longer yet. And that is totally, totally fine. If you need to get there because of the length of race that you're training for, you will get there eventually. If it's not something that you need to do or want to do, then you absolutely don't have to. But that technically is where we see that threshold for what is a long run. Now, in terms of the flip side of that, you know, we see these beneficial adaptations that take place within our bodies things like becoming more efficient. We see an increase in the utilization of fat as a fuel source. We see an increase in the density of the mitochondria within our muscle cells. We see development, better efficiency and development in the cardiovascular system. So it's these specific things that happen that if we're doing shorter distances, we don't see quite the same benefit. Obviously, there is a need and a benefit to all of our training runs. So we don't want to be going out for 90 minutes every single time we run. But that's why the long run is part of your training program as a distance runner. So if we see these adaptations taking place, then I'm sure that some people are wondering, well, how long should I run for then? Like if we know that we want to run for at least 90 minutes, is there a maximum amount of time that I should be running for? Or is it kind of the sky's the limit, right? Is more better? The longer we run for at a time, do we see this continued return on investment and this continued increase in those beneficial adaptations when it comes to endurance? And the answer to that is actually no. So there is a certain turning point at which we want to kind of max out our long run. We kind of want to tap out or cap our long run at about the 3 hour mark. Now that's going to be a loose 3 hours because of course every runner is a little bit different. And depending on your experience, depending on your recovery time, depending on what the rest of your training plan looks like, how long it's taken you to build up to being able to run that length of time, how frequently you tend to get injured, how kind of resilient you are to injury. There's so many factors that go into it that it would be impossible to have a hard and fast rule or a hard and fast number cutoff for how long you need to kind of cap out that long run at. Because of course, some people listening to this podcast episode who run, say, ultra marathons, well, I mean, 3 hours, like if you're running an ultra marathon, sometimes at the 3 hour mark, you're just getting warmed up. Whereas other times, 3 hours might be significantly longer than, you know, say your half marathon run race time, in which case there would be no need for you to be training significantly longer than that. But then, of course, the question becomes, you know, what if you are a runner who does take more time to finish these races? And for example, you may run a marathon in 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, right? Or even longer. How do you capitalize on getting the benefits of that long run if you really shouldn't be doing long runs that are much longer than 3 hours? But the first question I want to answer is, why do we want to max out or cap out our long run at about the 3 hour mark? And the reason for this is because we start to see an increase in injury risk that outweighs the benefits of running for that longer duration. So it's not that we start to see a decline in the improvements or there's no longer like any amount of benefit. It's just once we're doing those really big long runs, right? Like 4, 5, 6 hours or anything like that as part of our training plan, the amount of time we need to recover from those runs is going to make it really difficult to fit in the rest of our training runs and the recovery time that we need in order to do all of that well. But of course, again, depending on your level of experience with very long distance running, depending on how easily you do or don't get injured, any of those factors, that 3 hour mark is going to be a pretty loose recommendation. And it's going to be up to every runner to kind of figure out where their personal threshold is going to be. So some of the things that we want to talk about when it comes to our long run is going to be our fueling and our hydration strategy. And this is really important because you want to think about your long run as your opportunity to practice. So the long run isn't just about the physiological changes or those adaptations that are taking place within your body and within your muscle cells, but it's actually also about you being able to have some trial runs or sort of prepare and practice for your race day fueling and hydration strategy. And this means starting with looking at your nutrition and your eating the day before your long run, thinking about your hydration the day before, the morning of course, And how can we make sure that we're practicing with specific gear and some of the equipment and stuff like that that we're going to want for the day of our race so that we can make sure that we're incorporating it all together in a way that's going to work really well for us when that race rolls around. So the first thing we're going to talk about is fueling. What do we want to look at in terms of fueling for our long runs? And I know a lot of runners, their preference is to run with as little as possible, especially if you're going to be running races where there's a lot of aid stations along the way and you generally just like to rely on what's at the aid stations. Then you may find that, you know, it's very cumbersome to have to bring all this fuel and all this fluid and all this stuff with you when you're out on your long run. But I guarantee that you are going to improve not only the quality of the training you get done, but ultimately your race day performance by including and incorporating that fueling strategy into your practice runs. Because if you generally don't train with fuel or with hydration and you don't incorporate those things as part of your training plan, when you get to race day, you don't know what you can tolerate and what you can't. You don't know what your stomach can handle and what it can't. And so that's really going to increase the likelihood that you'll end up in trouble because of gut issues or something like that if you find that you're just not able to tolerate the nutrition or hydration options that are available. So one thing that you can do is you can find out in advance from usually either, you know, whoever the race happens to be sponsored by, or sometimes they'll have it listed in information for participants, what hydration or fueling options are going to be available on the race course. And if you plan on relying on those aid stations as much as possible during the run, then I really strongly recommend practicing with those specific products, because then you know what's going to work for you, how much you can tolerate, when to take it, and you're going to have a much easier time making that transition to your race day, race performance, because you're going to already know exactly what your fueling and hydration plan looks like. You don't want to practice the completely different product and then have to switch gears at the last minute for your race, because not only does it potentially contribute to gut issues if you haven't trained with a specific item, but also the anxiety and the stress around all of that can really contribute to a poorer race day performance. So our fueling and our hydration is not just what we bring with us during our run, even though those are two very important components of long run success. We actually need to back all the way up to what are we eating and how are we hydrating the day before our long run. And this is something that I want you to be thinking about as your long runs are maybe getting longer as you go through a race training cycle and it's starting to take up more of your time and take up more of your energy. You know, we really do need to be prepared and have a plan and be organized going into that long run day. Now, most people, the vast majority of people, and I've done a poll on this on my Instagram a couple of times, you know, asking people whether or not they run, do their long runs on the weekends or on a weekday, you know, morning, afternoon, evening, kind of when people get their long run in. And it seems like, you know, for my followers, if you're not already connected with me on Instagram, then you can find me at Steph, the Runner's Dietitian. But most people are getting their long run in either on a Saturday or Sunday morning. Of course, there are still plenty of runners who end up doing their long run during the weekdays, maybe because of work schedules or whatever that might be. You know, some people want to save their weekends for actual free time, not just filling it up with a run that takes up almost your entire day. But for the purposes of our conversation here today on this episode, I'll be talking about as if we're doing a long run on a Saturday or Sunday morning. So you can take this information and just kind of, you know, extrapolate it for your specific needs if you happen to run at a different time. So we want to be thinking about our fueling and our hydration the day before. So either the Friday evening or the Saturday evening, you know, what are we having for dinner the night before our long run? What are we doing in terms of hydration the night before? Do we have a rest day the day before the long run? Or are we having another training run the day before, in which case it kind of increases our need for nutrition, for recovery from the day's run that we did that day, but then also for the long run the next day, right? It's not just what we're eating that morning before we head out the door or just the calories that we're taking with us on the long run, it's this ongoing process of, you know, refueling, recovering from the previous workout while we're preparing our bodies for the next workout. So if you are not eating enough overall to support your training demands, if you're in that situation where you're under fueling, you're not going to get adequate recovery from your previous day's workout. And then you're also going to be behind the eight ball when it comes to being prepared for that long run. Because if we're talking about a run that's 10 miles, 15 miles, 20 miles, you know, that's 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 calories, give or take, worth of calories, right? That amount of running is over 1,000 calories, 2,000 calories worth of running. And there is absolutely no way that most people are going to be eating that amount of calories before and during their long run. So we actually want to be kind of backing up, like I said, and be starting that fueling up process the day before by having that really carb-focused meal for dinner the night before our long run. That's really key. And then same goes with hydration. You know, we're losing liters upon liters potentially of sweat during our long run, and it's just more than we realistically are going to be able to drink immediately before and during our long run. So that hydration process should be started the day before as well. So preparing for your long run and being ready for your long run really starts the day before the long run. It's not just what you're doing with your eating and with your hydration that day. When we look at your intra-run options, the long run as part of your training program is really the perfect time to be practicing different fueling and hydration strategies to figure out what's going to work best for you. This is so, so important. As I mentioned, not just if you're going to be relying on the aid stations at the race and you want to be prepared to use their products so you don't have to bring a whole bunch of stuff with you, but also just so that you have confidence in your race day plan and you know what works well so that it's one less thing to stress or worry about when the day of your race actually rolls around. Now, I know that for a lot of people, the idea of having to bring along, you know, your 20 miles worth of fuel with you is a bit cumbersome, and I totally get that. But I don't want a runner to be practicing with minimal fuel, minimal hydration, and then on the day of the race, when we need to double or even triple their calorie or their fluid intake to optimize their performance, they just can't do it. They can't tolerate it. They can't stomach it. Logistically, you know, it's too much because they haven't practiced doing that. So having your long runs be as close to your real life race day scenarios as possible is the best way to go. And the way that we want to do this, if we don't want to carry all of that stuff with us, is to run in a place where you can set up almost like a loop sort of scenario, or like an out and back that you maybe do a couple of times, so that you can set up your own little mini aid station along the way, along the course of your long run. So for example, if you are running, say, 15 miles one day, maybe you are going to plan out a 5-mile route, a 5-mile loop that you're going to either is going to be around your house, or you're literally coming back to your house every 5 miles, or maybe you're going to drive somewhere and you're going to put your car there and you know, have some things in your car that you're going to stop for just, you know, very quickly, and you can practice kind of the speed of that. You know, almost makes you think of like NASCAR drivers when they pull in and then the pit crew comes and, you know, takes them 30 seconds to change all of their tires, and, you know, the speed because of the practice that they've put in to be so efficient with these things. That's what we want for you too, is to be efficient and to be prepared and to be able to just quickly get what you need to fuel yourself and get hydrated for the next upcoming 5 miles. So it's not that you're stopping and eating and drinking every time you come around that 5-mile loop, but it's that maybe you are switching out your bottle, you're grabbing your couple of gels, you are, you know, just quickly kind of grabbing what you need to be able to continue on for the next segment of that long run that you're doing. So like I said, we can do that either as a loop Or you can do that as an out and back that maybe you repeat a couple of times throughout that run. But I really want to encourage you to have all the fuel you need, everything you're going to have to be prepared for race day. Because, you know, what we do in training is basically what we're going to be able to do in our real life performance, except we're adding more race day anxiety. We're adding more jitters. We're adding more people. We're adding more stress. You know, we're adding all of these extra things to that race day experience that we want our fueling and our hydration to just be as second nature as humanly possible. We don't want to have to be thinking about it. We don't want to have to be worrying about it. We don't want to have all these like what ifs and, oh, I haven't really tried this or practiced with that. I'm really not sure how this is going to go. We don't want that for you. We want you to feel really good about your race day strategy. The other thing that can really affect a lot of runners when it comes to their long run days is long run anxiety. Having a lot of mental stress and worry about the long run itself. And sometimes this can be like almost as much stress and anxiety as people experience around race day. And, you know, I think we all probably most of us, if not all runners, have experienced some jitters or a little bit of nervousness or uncertainty around a long run, especially as those long runs get longer and start to push the boundary of what you've done before, you know, what you think you're capable of, how long you've run. And it's not a surprise to me that people start to feel a little bit nervous about like, can I do this? What's my pace going to be like? Am I going to hit the wall? Am I going to need the bathroom? Like all of these questions kind of circle in our minds. What if I start getting blisters? What if the underwear that I've chosen doesn't work? What if, you know, all of these what ifs, right? The best way to get rid of some of these anxieties and some of these what ifs is to practice, right? Is to be prepared, is to try a lot of these different things multiple times, you know, give it a chance so that you're not worried about your socks giving you blisters because you run in these same socks all the time. To not worry about whether or not you're going to tolerate your nutrition or your hydration because you've been practicing with it during your shorter runs during the week. And that kind of brings me around to another important point that I want to bring up is when it comes to easing some of the stress and anxiety that we can have around our long run, one of the best ways that we can start to, again, add to our confidence and make sure that we feel like we're really prepared is to practice some of these things during our shorter runs so that we are able to kind of build up and understand and know that, you know what, I know this works for me because I've been trying it on my 4, 5, 6 mile runs. So once I get to a 12 mile run, I've been doing these things really regularly. So for people who normally don't fuel or maybe don't hydrate as well during their short runs, then we get around to our long run day and we have no practice. If you look at the long run, the number of legitimately long runs that you might get in during some of your race training cycles, there actually isn't that many of them, right? Your typical race plan, your half marathon or your marathon training plan, you know, they're going to be anywhere from as little as 8 weeks. 8 weeks is pretty short, but as little as 8 weeks up to maybe like 16 or maybe even 20 weeks. So in that time frame, you know, if you're building up over a 20-week plan, you're going to be getting to almost the halfway point of that plan before you're starting to get into like really long run territory. So you don't have that many opportunities to try a bunch of different things. And you may feel like you got to race day, you had a few maybe good long runs, you had a few that maybe weren't so good, and you actually don't have that much confidence in what you're doing, what you're wearing, the gear you're bringing with you, all of that. But instead, if we continue to practice our fueling and our hydration through some of our other runs throughout the week, now we can double or even triple our opportunities to do this trial and error process and figure out what's going to work best for us. So yes, a long run technically is when we get over 90 minutes. And that also is the threshold where we start to really need electrolyte and fuel replacement. But that doesn't make electrolyte replacement or fuel replacement, or of course, hydration at any of those shorter run distances wrong or bad or detrimental to your performance in any way, especially if it's giving you an opportunity to practice things and figure out what's going to work best for you so that you aren't stressed for your long run days and you're not stressed for race day. A lot of anxiety and, you know, long run anxiety, race day anxiety can really manifest itself in needing some extra bathroom stops along the way. And as nice as it is, you know, as I mentioned, setting up a loop or kind of like an out and back or something like that for your hydration and your fuel stations that you can set up for yourself along the way, this also maybe is an opportunity to have a bathroom stop that then at the very least, you're not going to worry or stress about needing the bathroom because you know you're coming back to a spot where there is one. And that can really help a lot. But ultimately, on the day of the race, we don't want to be having to line up for the porta potties or stressed about needing one or, you know, potentially lose quite a bit of time if we end up spending more time in the bathroom than we anticipated. So not only will a proper fueling and hydration strategy give you better gut tolerance to your nutrition and to your fluids, but having confidence in your race day plan and knowing that you've had enough practice with those things, it's also going to reduce your stress and anxiety, which in and of itself can be a trigger for bathroom problems. So it all kind of comes full circle. And if we really want to have kind of smooth sailing on race day, then it all comes down to being prepared, being organized, having put in lots of practice, not just into our running, but into all these other aspects too. The other thing that's great about, you know, being prepared for your long run is having specific gear that you know you really like. And this is everything from shoes to shorts to a sports bra to socks, you know, any other gadgets, your hydration vest or pack if you choose to wear one of those. All of that stuff that, again, we don't want to get to race day or the couple of long runs that we might have right before a race and be trying to test out a bunch of brand new gear. So the more opportunities you give yourself to try these things, to work with them, to figure out if you like them or maybe if they chafe funny or you need more pockets or it's too hard to access the pockets and you know, like whatever it might be. I know that we've all had races where it's like, oh, this, you know, stupid belt that I was wearing drove me nuts because it was new on race day. I mean, even the most experienced runners have all done silly things like thinking one new piece of gear won't be that big of a deal. But you will be much more confident and you will have a much smoother and better race day experience if you give yourself as many opportunities as possible to be prepared and practiced. Of course, with your hydration and your fueling and your physical training and the benefits of that, but also to make sure that your gear is in place too, so you have that confidence and, you know, aren't experiencing a lot of race day anxiety. So if you are a slower runner and your race is going to be taking you, you know, significantly more than 3 hours, maybe 5, 6, 7 hours or something like that, and you need more time and you're thinking, well, if I'm only ever running for 3 hours at a time, like how on earth am I going to get my body prepared to do this? This is where there is a strategy that we implement where we basically do 2 days of back-to-back long runs. So essentially you would have one day where you're doing a long-ish run, I'll call it. So you're going to do a long run on the first day. And then on the second day, you're going to do another long run. And the benefit of this is of these back-to-back long run days is that you are getting more volume altogether. You're spending more time on your feet. But with that little bit of recovery time in between, not complete recovery, right? You're not giving yourself days off in between, but you're giving yourself that little bit of recovery to reduce your injury risk going into that race. Because running for, you know, 6 hours at a time is incredibly difficult on our bodies. And we can't be out there doing that every single weekend without significantly increasing our injury risk. So instead, by kind of breaking that long run up into a couple of days, you get lots of time on your feet. You get lots of practice and experience with the volume, but without the risk that comes along with those really long runs all at the same time. When we're talking about ultra running, That, of course, is a little bit of a different scenario in the ultra running kind of training plans and how we approach that. But as I mentioned, it really just comes down to your experience and what makes sense for you and making sure that you're taking as many steps as possible to reduce your risk of injuries. And that is going to be a lot of fueling, a lot of hydration, and taking advantage of your rest and recovery time when you can. All right, so that is it for today's episode, all about helping you prepare for your long run, giving you some tips, some strategies of how you can approach your long run to make sure that you have everything you need to be successful, making sure that you are well-fueled, well-hydrated, able to reduce race day anxiety, long run anxiety, and needing two frequent bathroom stops along the way. I hope that you found this episode helpful. And of course, if you are looking for some help with your nutrition and training and recovery strategies, then I would love for you to check out the Fuel Train Recover Club. This is my online program for runners who want to reconnect with their love of running in an online program that you can take your time going through the modules, learn all about how to properly fuel your body for your running goals, learn how to train in a way that is going to help you work smarter, not harder, and of course, looking at steps to optimize your training recovery so you can do more. All of this is available. All the details about this Fuel Train Recover program are available by clicking on the link in the show notes. And we currently have enrollment open. I would love to see you there. Thanks so much for listening today, for spending this time with me, and we'll catch you in next week's episode. Bye for now. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.